Ezekiel chapter 12 this morning. If you'd like to turn there, Ezekiel chapter 12. Now, these gentlemen are walking down the aisle to give you a Bible if you need one. So just raise your hand. They'd count it a privilege to pass one over to you. It's yours to keep, of course. There's no charge for it. If you need it, just take it. And for all of us, we're in Ezekiel 12 this morning. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be gathering to travel verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Bible. Come and join us. That's at 6 o'clock. But right now, we're going to zero in on a part of Ezekiel chapter 12. We'll be in verse 21. Ezekiel 12, starting at verse 21. Ezekiel 12, 21, where it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore, say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed any more, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God." The Lord, in his great patience, had been calling out to the people for a long, long time. Through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, and now through Ezekiel, God had been calling his people to turn around. It's that old-time word, repent, turn around. The way you're going will get you nowhere good. The seeds you're sowing are going to bring a bitter, horrible harvest. I know you think you know the best way, but it's so much less than what I have for you. Turn around was his call. And not just for a few days, but he'd done this for years and years and decades and decades and decades and on and on. He'd been calling them, turn around. That there was a sure destruction and captivity in their future if they didn't turn around. But it had been a long time he'd been calling. And the people, the leaders, began to interpret the passage of time as meaning the prophecies weren't true. They scoffed at those who proclaimed these things as God's word. Or they would say, if they are true, they're not going to happen for a long, long time yet. What do they have to do with me? I have life to live, things to be about. And that's not, even if it does happen, it's not for a whole long time yet. And they chose instead to follow the false prophets, those who spoke soothing words to them that would appeal to their own self-interest, would appeal to the fleshly nature. And they mocked the word of God through it all. What was true then is true today. We have before us this morning a passage rooted in history, yet very much about today. What do others say when you bring up what God says is going to happen? How sure is God's word? Will it really happen like he says it will? Look how long it's been since it was spoken. Do we really believe this is what God says, and do we live like we believe it? I've called our time together this morning based on verse 22. What is this proverb? Let's pray. Father, the evidence of your love is all around us. We think of the mercy and the grace and the compassion you show towards us. That you're not out to get us, but out to save us. that even as we gather this morning, your thoughts towards us are good thoughts. Lord, we recognize we're the weak link in this whole thing. We can be such a distracted people. So much thinking about what we did earlier or what we're going to do later. And meanwhile, you are just patiently speaking to us. Lord, help us. Lift off these distractions from our lives, Lord, and help us, Lord, to hear you. Only in you do we find the hope and the healing, the encouragement, the conviction, whatever we need. It's only in you. Help us to hear you. Lord, let it be a one-on-one time. Your Spirit speaking to our hearts now. Lord, move amongst us, move within us. Speak, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel had been called to proclaim the certainty and the nearness of God's judgment upon Jerusalem and Judah. They had gone too far. For so long, he'd been calling out to them and trying to point out to them what they were doing and where it was going to get them. But they had chosen long ago to turn their back on God. They thought they knew better. I can run my life. I see things around me that I want to be a part of. They're what I need to be fulfilled. This is what I need to try. This is what I need to get into. This is what I should get involved with. They got into horrible, lewd, wicked, abominable practices that they inherited or brought in from all the nations around them and all. They were stubborn of head and hard of heart. So the Lord declares, that's it. See, he loves them too much. He can't let them keep going that way. Just as you must discipline your child to prevent greater harm, just as the doctor has to operate to get that thing out before it causes greater harm, he had to deal with them. He had to bring a chastisement upon them, a judgment upon them. And that's what he says he's going to do. He said, you've gone too far now. It's the end for you. The Babylonians will come and they will conquer you. They'll be the instrument of this judgment, this timeout, major timeout that I'm going to give you. Your land is going to be made desolate. The temple will be destroyed. Your homes will be burned. Those of you not killed will be taken into captivity. And that was the message that God was saying. And he was saying it through Jeremiah there in Jerusalem. And he was saying it now here in Ezekiel, who's already been taken captive up to Babylon. But the false prophets were declaring that none of that was true. They were saying that will never happen. God would never allow the Gentiles and all to come in here and desecrate our temple. And God would never allow Jerusalem to fall. And the people and the leaders chose to believe these false prophets. Because after all, the false prophets were telling the people what they wanted to hear. Soothing words. Words that would scratch those itching ears that they had. So the false prophets told the people what they wanted to hear, and the people bought into it. And because of that, the people developed a proverb even. They developed a saying about all these things that guys like Jeremiah and Ezekiel were declaring. Let's read it in verse 22. Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Because Ezekiel's prophecies had not been fulfilled immediately, the people were believing the false prophets over the word of God. They were coming to the conclusion that, yeah, these things aren't true, or they're not going to happen. Now, the visions of the false prophets were false, and they were misleading, but they were soothing, and they were encouraging, and they were what the people wanted to hear. See, the false prophets, these false teachers, were saying things like, no, you're okay the way you are. There's no need to repent. Even though you're in sin, God will bless you. See, even though they would go to church on Saturday. That's their church day. They go to church on Saturday, the temple. Meanwhile, they were in all these wicked practices the rest of the week. And they were divided hearts, divided minds. And God was saying, you can't do that. But the false prophets are saying, oh no, that's okay. God will still bless you even though you practice these sins. You can be double-minded, double-hearted, and it's okay. No need to repent. We need to turn around. And oh, how the people wanted to hear that. that I'm okay like I am. Just pump me up a little bit. Tell me I'm a good guy. That's what they wanted to hear, and that's what they were getting. But the Lord makes it clear now that there'd be no more delay. They would now see his word fulfilled. Verse 23. Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall say no more. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. They're saying, what Ezekiel's saying will never happen. Why worry about it? It'll never come to pass. Everything he says never comes to pass. But now God's saying, yeah, it will. Verse 24, for no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. Verse 25, for I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. But next we also see, and the reason I kept reading was there was also another group. We see there was a group here who said that, well, yeah, they may happen, but it's not for a long time yet. There's no need for us to worry about it today. We can be about our things we want to. It's a long ways off. Verse 26, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, look, the house of Israel is saying, the vision that he sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Well, what does the Lord answer to those who would say that? Verse 28. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. I wonder how many people today try to comfort themselves in one of those two camps that also existed in Ezekiel's day. What I mean is, there's that camp that would just mock the word of God. They mock at the idea that God has given prophecies that are going to come to pass. They would say that they'll never happen. They're old fables, old tales. They'll never pass. They'll never come to pass. Or those who do say, well, yeah, they might happen, but it's not for a whole long time yet. We don't got to worry about it. It's not for our day. How often are we confronted with people who that's one of those two reactions is what they say? We try to share the urgency of receiving Jesus now. And often we get that response, oh, those are fables. Or, well, it might be true, but it's not for a long time off that it's ever going to come to pass. Question. Not to answer out loud, but just to consider. What major prophecy do we live under today? What major prophecy is next in God's timetable for the times we live in? Let me show you the verse so we're all very clear about it. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where Paul declares, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That is the next thing to happen in God's prophetic timetable for our day. Now the word caught up here, the words caught up come from a Greek word, harpazo, and it's a word that means to be snatched away or taken away by force. We get our term rapture from the Latin word for that Greek word. So it's the rapture or the catching up of the believers. And what Paul is declaring is there's coming a day when a trumpet's going to sound and there'll be a shout, and those who belong to the Lord, we're out of here. Up we go. In that twinkling of an eye, we're out of here, is the declaration. And it's the next thing that's scheduled to happen. No other prophecy has to happen first before that one to happen. That is the next one. Now, having said that, consider this. The prophecy they lived under here in chapter 12 of Ezekiel, the prophecy they were living under at the time, was the declaration of the fall of Jerusalem and the going into captivity into Babylon. That was the prophecy they lived under. The prophecy we live under is the catching up of the believers, the taking home of all those who received Christ as Savior. Just as during that day, what was their prophecy they lived under? that there was a captivity coming. The Babylonians are coming. You're going to fall if you don't turn around. That was what they lived under. And their reaction to it, ain't going to happen, or it's a long ways off. The prophecy we live under today, any day now, up we go. And what's the reaction of so many people? Ain't going to happen, or it's a long ways off. They didn't think it was imminent. Oh, what they would have done if they'd understand the truth of it and the timing of it. The same for us today. Oh, how people are going to wish they could have understood the urgency, the timing, the importance of it, the prophecy we live under today. As I studied all this, I couldn't help but think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. He tells us what it's going to be like in our day, and it's going to be beneficial for us to consider it. So, tuck your bulletin in there. We're going to take a little trip. Turn right. Go to your New Testament. Go to the second letter of Peter, 2 Peter. That's somewhat near the end of your Bible, so you can go to Revelation, turn left, whatever works for you. But work your way to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 3. Where Peter writes about the day we live in today, and Peter says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That delay of time, that span of time, where God in his long-sufferingness, is that a word? Anyway, that he was long-suffering, so patient, so gracious, he is waiting. And he declares here, he's waiting. Anybody here glad that he waited for you? A couple, okay. Anybody here glad he waited for you? Yeah. Oh, getting more, all right. There we go, we're getting there. But it won't be forever. In a time that he and only he knows. We don't know the day and the hour, but in that time that he knows, the clock is ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking, and the angels are watching and time is going on, and he's crying and calling, be reconciled, come back, receive that which you need to have life, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. He's calling and calling, but there's coming a day when it's going to be now. And the trumpet sounds, and up we go. It'll be too late for all those who are left behind. But as we listen here in the last days, what does he say is going to be going on? That there'll be these scoffers, he says, going, oh, where is the promise? Where is it? It's been forever we've been hearing that. Everything goes on the way it always has and it always will be. See, it sounds a whole lot like it did in Ezekiel's day, huh? Oh, what isn't going to happen? Or if it does, it's so far off. It has nothing to do with us today. Yesterday here at the church, we had a wedding. And during the wedding, the couple that got married had a friend who was a pastor, and they invited him to share a few thoughts. And he got up, and before he shared his thoughts, he said he was going to follow the 5 B's. Got my interest. He said, here it is. Be brief, brother. Be brief. Well, this morning, I want to change that. Be ready, brother. Be ready. Be ready, sister. Be ready. And that's what's on my heart this morning. We live in the time of a prophecy just like they did. We need to understand the urgency of being ready. prophecy is sure. When God says something will happen, it's going to happen. Don't be duped. That's the morning's message. Had to go to years of seminary. No, didn't do that. Don't need to go to theological school for that one. But it's straightforward. It's what's on my heart. Don't be duped. If you're not ready, let it never be because you attended this church. But it's my privilege to cry out to you, be ready. Be prepared. Don't buy into those who would say, look how long it's been. One day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. God doesn't keep time like us. And he's waiting. And thank God he has waited until now, but it won't be forever. Don't be duped. Be ready. Oh, how I long to see us all ready. Prepared for that trumpet and that call and that going home. Well, how is a person to be prepared then? How can a person be prepared for this great catching up? There's two applications here. There's two parts to being ready. First of all, how do you make sure you're prepared to go up? Only those who have truly given their heart to Jesus will go up. It's for those who have received Christ as Savior that go up in the rapture. Don't say, oh, it'll never happen, or I've got a whole long time until it will. It will happen, and it can be any moment. And the only way that you will be there is if you receive what Christ did for you. It doesn't say that this is the catching up of the people who are really nice. This isn't the catching up of the people who go to church every Sunday. This isn't the catching up of the people who dress right and talk right and you're basically a nice person. Oh, how often I'll talk to somebody, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, on what basis? And what do we always hear? Well, I'm basically a good person. And so lovingly you have to say, I'm glad you're a good person, but it has nothing to do with it. It's like going up to SeaWorld. And I say, how are you going to get in the SeaWorld? Are you going to make it in? I hope so. How are you going to get in? Because I'm a good person. And I'm going to say, I'm glad you're a good person. But they don't want that. They want a ticket. And that's how did you get to heaven. People see, they have this idea. I get to heaven. And, well, I'm not really, I know I've done some wrong, but I'm basically good. And my good's going to outweigh the bad. You know, there's these scales, and they're going to put my good over here and my bad over here. And the good will tip it down. And in I go. Bad news, there are no scales at the door of heaven. Only a book. Only a book. And your name's got to be in there. It's called the Book of Life. Here's the good news. You get in there by just receiving what Christ did on the cross for you. Not churchianity, not goodianity, another non-word, but Jesus. That's how your name gets in there. And that's the only way you'll go up, and that's the only way to be prepared. I pray that if you're not prepared, by the end of this morning, you will be. But now I want to speak to you, believer. Then there's another part of this being prepared. Because you might be sitting there thinking like, oh, well, I've done that, I accepted Christ. And great, you're in. Trumpet sounds, up you go. But the Lord also said for us as believers, there's something else for us to be prepared. Jesus told those who belong to him that we should desire to hear something when we stand before him. He talked about it here in Matthew 25. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Believer, are you prepared to hear well done? The Bible says that if you receive Christ as Savior, you are saved as you'll ever be, and you're headed there, and up you go when the time comes. But it says, believer, when you get there, although you're there and you're saved, it says the things you've done are going to be tried by fire. The things we've done will be tested to see what manner they were. Were they done of him and for him and because of him? What was the motive? What was that about? And anything that's not of him will be burned away, it says. And only what was done for him will be left. And we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. what will happen as you watch the, and this is an analogy, but as you watch the conveyor belt where your works are going through, are you going to say, I hope something makes it through? As it goes through that testing fire, is it going to go, ugh? I talk to some Christians, they go, hey, look, all I care about is being there. And thank God you're going to be there, that we get to be there, awesome. But too many Christians have the attitude, hey, as long as I'm here, I might get there with everything burned off of me. I'll be there smelling like smoke, barely made it through, but I'll be there. And they think that's kind of good, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you're saved, but the Lord told you he didn't want to work just in you, but through you. And he said he wants you to be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you prepared now? Are you prepared that if you went up now, you would hear, well done? There'd be something you could turn right around and offer back and say, Lord, it's all because of you. I cast my crown down before you. I give it right. You did it. Thank you, God, that I just got to be a part of it. Will you hear, well done? Or will you be standing there, smelling of smoke, looking down? You know, the other day I was handed this list by Lynette. She's our children's ministry director. It's a list of the VBS workers for this week coming up. And may I share something with you? As I began, and I got the list out, and I began to read through the names, probably many of you, your names on this list of VBS workers, and I began to read through this, and I found myself having the reaction I'm having again right now a little bit. Praise God for each of you. I look at this and I go, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. I look at everybody who signed up and I just think, man, you know what I thought of this? And I saw this, I said, you know, there's a lot bunch of people here who are going to get blessed by the end of this week. And there's a bunch of people who are going to be a blessing by the end of the week. Because that's how this whole thing works when you serve the Lord. He blesses you and he blesses others through you. And I got to look at the list and I go, you know, Lord, what a great week this is going to be for them, for the children. And I just, what a blessing all of you are. Now let me say this too. I also know, I understand, that just because you're not on this list doesn't mean you're not serving. You can serve the Lord in many ways, and many of you are. I'm not on this list. These are our VBS workers. So I'm saying, I realize that this isn't the book of life. Many of you may not be on here, but you're doing other things. You're serving the Lord, and that's great. But if you're not, be careful. You want to hear, well done. I'd like to mention a couple opportunities to you just to think about. You know, the other day I was also going over, they handed me the upcoming scheduled events, some of the activities and all I had planned for the junior high ministry here. Our junior high ministry is really doing great. They have so many upcoming activities. They got a lot of kids going. They got a lot of fun things planned, and they're teaching them the Word. It's just, it's a neat ministry. And think about it. Think of that age, those junior high years. Some of you were saying, I don't want to remember those years. But you know, I was talking to, a while back now, but I was talking to a sheriff, and he was saying, you know, the battleground that used to be in the high school age is now in the junior high and the upper elementary ages. The temptations, the drugs, everything. You know it, you know, you see it out there. They're bombarded. And what an important time of life now for these junior hires to be making decisions about where they're headed and what they're going to be about. And we have some people serving over there, and they're all volunteers, and they need your help. They just do. They've approached me. They've talked to me about it. What are they asking? They're asking if somebody or some people or maybe a couple would have their heart say, you know what? That'd be a great age. I'd like to go help them out. Just jumping in with activities or whatever it might be. Maybe actually mentoring a youth. Think of the difference you might make in a young person's life. You know, time and again, that's what they say. They don't need someone with a doctorate. They need someone who just care for them and love them and maybe help them make a right decision at a critical time. I think of our missions fellowship. We've just kind of got that rolling. The goal is to be a place where we might come together and just pray for those who've gone out. To maybe drop them an email or a letter or something and encourage them that we're thinking about them, praying about them. Think of the difference you can make. Do something like that. I think about our children's ministry in general here. For all the little, think of these little ones that God brings in here to us. You know, the kids just want to know they're loved. You see what children are bombarded with today? Turn on the news every day, and what are we reading? Abductions and cruelty. And it blows my mind. I'm sure it does yours. We can make a difference. We got them a little while. Or we can bring them in from the community. Or even our own little ones here. But we can let them know they're loved. That little one, just a little one. You can sing, Jesus loves you, this I know. And plant the seeds that might last for a lifetime. Who knows how many of our lives have been changed because someone did that. Or if those have been used greatly by God. They oftentimes tell you when they were little, someone planted seeds of God's love. Didn't plant a big theological discourse, blah, 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 blah. Planted God's love. Then opportunities are there. Are you prepared to hear? Well done. Well, the people of Ezekiel's time lived thinking that what God said was going to happen wasn't going to happen, or that if it did, it was a long time off. Do not be duped into thinking that way. You see, if you think that way, then you might delay. You might delay coming to Him. Oh, I've got time. I'll think about Jesus tomorrow. Maybe next week. The problem with thinking you received Christ at midnight is you might die at 11:59. You don't know. Man, are we trying to like scare me into heaven? Well, I'm trying to tell you the reality that any time now, it could be the last tick on the clock. You see, if you don't go up, you're left behind. And the rapture ushers in or is a part of the beginning of a horrible time called the Great Tribulation. A time like there's never been before or ever will be again. A horrible time, and you don't want to be here. And God doesn't want you here. That's why He's calling you. That's why He wants to save you. He sent His Son to the world not to condemn the world, but to save you. But you got to receive. And He wants you to. So that's the call. But also, Christian, if you start thinking you've got a lot of time, the danger is you might delay serving. I just got to get, wait till I get my job together. I just got just another year or two of my job and everything should be okay. Then I'll serve Him a little bit. Let me get some money saved up. I got to get my retirement set. Let me get the project around the house. My house really needs all these projects repaired. Let me get the projects done. Then I'll help in the junior high or whatever. See, that's the danger. We start thinking, well, everything's been the way it's been. I got time. And we're not prepared to hear well done. Turn back to Ezekiel 12 if you're still over in that 2 Peter passage. Look again, Ezekiel 12, verse 25. For I am the Lord. I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. And in verse 28, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed any more, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. The Lord can't put it much more clearly than that. God says what He means and means what He says. How awesome that is, because you can count on it, you can bank on it, you can trust in it. Now, I do know, yes, of course, others ridicule God's word or ridicule you for believing in it. And I realize you won't hear these things proclaimed on the 6 o'clock news tonight. But know this, God said it, it will happen. Are you ready? I'm going to invite the worship team up. I'm going to invite you to stand. And as the worship team's up, I'm going to ask you to consider something. Have you received Christ personally as your Savior? If not, while the worship team leads us in a chorus, get up, come up front. Let us lead you in a prayer to receive Christ as Savior. Don't leave here wishing you'd made that step. We want to offer you that opportunity. I'm not doing a big appeal to the emotions. We're not going to pluck the heartstrings here. You know, we're just going to give you an opportunity now while we sing a chorus. If you haven't received Christ as Savior and you'd like to, come up front and let us pray with you. Father, you see us, you know us inside out, and you know if there might be even now one who hasn't opened their heart and they're struggling and debating and wondering. Lord, by your love, break through all that stuff and just show them. Coming to you is the best thing they'll ever do. And you're not going to do something weird. You're going to change them. You're going to make them new. Help them see, Lord. Just by in their heart, help them know they need life and you have it. And may they choose it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Struggle, an internal struggle to make that decision. If you have not and yet find yourself in a few moments wishing you had, or just like to ask more questions about it, there'll be prayer partners available over here by the prayer room as you wrap things up. They'd love to talk to you and pray with you if you'd like to receive Christ as Savior. But now I just want to take a moment and address something to those of us who do know Him. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, he speaks about the Lord and he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That is my job description. That's my calling as a pastor, and it's pretty straightforward. What's it say? That he called pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's my privilege. I am called to teach the word of God, to encourage you, to warn you, to exhort you, all those things that would result in your building up. But now I just want to read on from that in a moment. The very next couple of verses here. It says he's given them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And then we read this last verse. From whom the whole body, all of us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's the goal. That's process. We all have our part. We've all been placed together here at this time and in this place. And we are to have an effect upon... You may not like me, but you got to love me. We are cast together to travel together. We are His body at this place, in this time. And there's something to be going on here, He's saying, where we're all just to be open and available to being used, however God wants to use every single one of us, each one doing their part for the building up, the growing together of the body of Christ. I just want to encourage you, let's go for it, family. Don't hold back. Find and walk in and get blessed in that place God has for you. Go for it. And any day now, up we go. Be ready. Be ready to go. Be ready to hear. Well done. Lord, the awesome thing is that we can be ready. Herein is love. Not that we love you, but that you love us and sent your Son to die for us. Lord, we can be those listening for the trumpet because of what you've done, the price you've paid. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And Father, we're saying now, take us and use us in any way you choose. Individually and as a fellowship, Lord, have your way. In the VBS, yes, but in everything around here, in all ways. And out from here, Lord, your will be done. So, Lord, thank you, praise you, all glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close in song together.